Arrakis. Dune. Desert planet. Words that spark adventurous imagination and desire. A desolate world filled only with sand and untold danger that nonetheless floats along its orbit as the glittering prize jewel of humanity's Imperium. A symbol of status that attracts the ambitious and covetous, around which deadly games of intrigue are played and dried sands are stained with blood to possess the planet's priceless spice melange. Though Arrakis is the eye of a swirling storm of events throughout human history, and it's of conspicuous consequence in the Dune novels, it's but one of countless planets in myriad star systems, interconnected through a web of complex cultural, socioeconomic, and military interaction that comprise the empire of mankind in the far distant future. To better appreciate Arrakis and its significance, we must first understand the landscape, history, civilization, and motivations of the Dune universe, dispel its mysteries, and navigate its deepest meanings. Let's dive in. Humanity has grown beyond Earth's confines. It's taken to the stars, mastered both space and time in a golden age of civil and technological advancement. The bright banner of mankind is raised through conquest or colonization on countless worlds. People scatter to the very edge of exploration of the known universe aboard massive starships, and establish the first Imperium. As humanity evolves, they increasingly rely on the functions of AI, robotics, and newly created thinking machines. This leads to decadence and stagnation. Technology's greatest peril is that it will evolve faster than man. It will grow independent and self-aware. It will breed catastrophe. This nightmare is realized as thinking machines developed consciousness, took control of the intergalactic AI neural network, and violently usurped command of the Empire. Humans are slaughtered or enslaved by the billions. Trillions more are displaced to escape conflict. A dark age blankets mankind in centuries of terrible oppression. But from this pressurizing crucible, a great movement explodes. A frenzied uprising. A guerrilla war fought constantly between humans and their metal counterparts on countless worlds. The zenith of this conflict spawned a revolution known as the Butlerian Jihad against the thinking machines that stokes passionate zeal within every soul as humanity embarks on a costly but ultimately successful crusade to free itself from the cold grip of artifice. Thinking machines are obliterated, every trace of them eradicated, every dependency severed. Mankind enters a new age in which harsh prescriptions that border on fanatical bar any use, mention, or creation of artifice. This restriction is most notably heard in the first commandment of the religious text, the Orange Catholic Bible. Thou shalt not make a machine in the likeness of a human mind. They're considered anathema to human existence. Thought of them is blasphemy. Though it's been thousands of years since these events, the consequences of the Butlerian Jihad still reverberate through the Imperium's current landscape. For better or worse, technological progress is stunted, and an intellectual dark age suffocates humanity, whose fear of machines runs deep. From humanity's tempestuous past, a delicate equilibrium is struck that extends across the known universe. A strange paradox in which great advancements have been made in all major fields, but due to its unshakable disgust of technology and artifice, civilization itself has slowly regressed to a feudalistic model of rule that dominates political affairs. The great Padishah Emperor sits atop the lion throne of House Carino at the nexus of the Imperium. From the throne, edicts are issued, decrees written into law, punishments made, lands and titles granted, and governance performed in a monarchical style. Though all defer to the lion throne, the Padishah's power is far from absolute. The Imperium is too expansive an entity for one to govern efficiently, so a system of houses both great and minor arbitrate over fiefdoms, vassalates, and star systems under the Emperor's auspices. Courtiers from all imperial households ingratiate themselves to the Lion Throne, seeking advancement or engaging in underhanded subterfuge. The supreme power wielded by the Padishah is checked by the governmental convention of great houses known as the Landsrad Council. Landsrad representatives meet to air grievances, seek alliances, arbitrate disputes, and negotiate trade. Membership within the council affords protection against the Emperor's ambition. Their combined forces are enough to prevent gratuitous grasp for power. They are, however, a largely ineffectual squabbling bureaucracy that wishes to maintain the status quo and rarely risks much, as the Duke Leto Atreides hints at during the transfer of Arrakis from House Harkonnen to Atreides. They don't know who's going to win this exchange. most of the houses have grown fat by taking few risks. One cannot truly blame them for this. One can only despise them. Another entity outside the Imperium's hierarchy exerts political influence and acts as a foundational pillar, stabilizing the tripod of humankind. The Great Spacing Guild's mysterious mystical navigators hold absolute monopoly on interstellar travel and commerce. Since the destruction of thinking machines, spacefaring is a dangerous gambit of dizzying calculations and inhuman reaction times to avoid untold destruction lurking in the void that is impossible to perform outside the small group of specially trained guild steersmen. As such, the navigators maintain fragile space lanes within the Empire. They are a necessity to safely cross the dangerous abyss. Without them, there would be no empire. Each world would turn inward and devolve into isolated anarchy. They realize their import and wield great pressure. Without guild support or approval, no house can move against another or venture beyond their worldly confines. The navigators charge extortionary sums for services rendered. It's the intermingling of these three forces, the Imperial House, the Landsrad Council, and the Spacing Guild, that maintains a tenuous equilibrium throughout the known universe. But how can a race, an empire that for much of its history relied on the computational and mechanical power of artifice, navigate the distant stars, far future, and deadly decisions without machines? Auxiliaries to the Foundation tripod dynamic, inherent to the Imperium, were long ago established to answer precisely this question of necessity. Mankind knew the void left by the proscription on thinking machines required filling, and so founded secretive orders that spent generations manipulating human genetics, knowledge, and skill to produce individuals of flesh with the capacity to mirror a computer. One such being the school of Mentats. Mentats are humans trained in higher cognitive thinking and computation, schooled deeply in memory, mental conditioning, and data organization. They're the equivalent of a living, breathing machine, a human supercomputer with mind unbound that tracks thousands of data to hypothesize future probabilities and strategize present moments. Mentat skills are invaluable to the Empire, where they're employed as advisors, tacticians, and castellans. An example being the great master of assassins and coordinator of defense for House Atreides, Thufir Hawat. Another school of mental and physical training designed to replace machines with humans is the enigmatic and quasi-religious Bene Gesserit Sisterhood. Obscured by myth, shrouded by an aura of mysticism, the Bene Gesserit order works in shadow, asserting its influence subtly through generations. It's primarily concerned with humanity's preservation and continued stability. Its members believe they are mankind's shepherds. Through the sisterhood, humanity will reach ever higher, avoid complete stagnation and death, inevitable to every civilization in history. Bene Gesserit sisters are trained in observation, mental conditioning, and possessed of supernatural skills in reliving ancestral memories that mark them as feared sorceresses and witches by lay people. The Sisterhood manipulates all houses in the Empire through diplomacy, through their secretive breeding program, and through their false religions. One thing binds all the disparate factions, all the competing forces and opposed ideologies of the Empire in a collective struggle. It's a symbol of influence, its power. Currency, freedom. It extends life and bestows superhuman ability. It's the rarest commodity, sought by all not just for what it does, but what it represents. It's the invaluable spice melange. Also known as the geriatric spice for its life-extending effects, this substance is relied upon by all great powers in the known universe. It's the true measure of significance. A mind-altering narcotic, spice is used by the Space Guild navigators to steer ships through the galaxy in faster-than-light space folds. It's used by the Bene Gesserit to consult distant memories locked in the genetic past and portend the future. Without it, the Empire would collapse. So rare and so valuable is the spice that a small case can buy an entire star system. Intrigue and diplomacy swirl constantly around the melange as grasping hands reach for its influence. The substance's value is tied to its extremely limited availability. Only one planet in the universe has a climate and ecosystem compatible with spice generation, the desert world of Arrakis. What once was an impoverished backwater planet has, with the discovery of spice, become the Empire's most illustrious and coveted fiefdom. The house that controls the spice holds great sway in the Imperium. Like moths to a flame, Arrakis attracts ambitious and deceitful factions with promises of power to appease their vainglory. For those who lose the play for Dune, envy and contempt ring hollow in their empty souls. The irresistible allure of Spice Melange is, however, inextricable from and countered by its dangers. Arrakis is replete with all manner of deadly snares to thwart the uninitiated, a planet harsh and unforgiving. Dune's very ecology conflicts with life. As its sobriquet suggests, the planet is largely inhospitable, a fluid mass of endless sands that extend beyond the horizon in all directions, baked hot by a relentless sun. Water is a dream, moisture a mirage. The desert quickly claims those ill-equipped to handle such environs. But the dunes aren't the only threat on Arrakis. Lurking deep beneath the sands, surrounded by myth and mystery, lie the terrifying, awe-inspiring sandworms of Dune. With massive bodies that extend hundreds of meters, maws gaping and bristling with teeth that engulf entire convoys, the sandworm is Arrakis's apex predator. It's the planet's violence and severity manifest. Sandworms patrol open deserts and render spice harvesting an often fatal affair. They're a force of nature worshipped by locals and reviled by off-worlders. If one is skilled enough to survive the sweltering landscape, cunning enough to avoid the sandworms and other great predators, they must yet face the planet's most dangerous force to wrest free the invaluable spice. The hostile and furious Fremen. Fremen are roving bands of tribal warriors native to the untamed wilds of Arrakis's desert. They're incomparable fighters, molded by harsh necessity into the Empire's fiercest blades. They're insubordinate and irksome, rarely paying homage to their liege lord, and only infrequently do they enter the planet's urban centers. The Fremen are prideful, communal, and mysterious. They know the desert's ways and speak its language. Fremen don't welcome intruders kindly. Their raids on spice harvesting render successful missions much more lucrative, and unsuccessful, deadly. Fremen hide away in desert redoubts called sieges, ruled by a Naib, the tribe's leader, within which they eke out a meager existence. But Fremen also represent great potential. They are the power of the desert that, if properly governed and wielded, would significantly bolster the ranks of unparalleled warriors within a great house's standing army. But, for the most part, they're often overlooked by off-worlders, avoided and discriminated against as backward, uneducated, simple folk. Arrakis, Dune, the Spice Planet. A world that, along with its melange, acts as prize and setting for a powder keg of events that explode across the Empire. Mankind has ventured far in its future, but is yet beholden to ancient forms of governance. Computers are blasphemy, technology is abhorred, culture has regressed into feudalism's mire. A tentative equilibrium maintains peace between the Lion Throne, Lansrad, Spacing Guild, and other duplicitous factions. But few realize just how fragile mankind's Imperium is. The events of Dune test old notions, shatter preconceptions, and shake humanity to its core. Arrakis and the spice at the heart of it all. Topics to be discussed at length in the future. Thanks so much for watching and listening to this video introducing the setting and scene of the Dune universe. Now I want to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts on Arrakis, the Empire, as well as suggestions for future videos in the comments below. And if you're a fan of lore and storytelling, be sure to subscribe to the channel, check out the podcast or blog where content is uploaded frequently. I want to thank my amazing supporters over on Patreon who make all of this possible, and I couldn't do it without their fantastic support. If you'd like to become a lore luminary for access to me, a great community, written scripts, and early video drops, head to patreon.com/thelorebrarians to learn more. Until next time, go forth and explore the lore.